WBDG Indianapolis, Giant 90.9.
He was a Marine and then a state trooper. He's worked with some of the biggest movers and shakers in the history of the city. He's a man of faith and a dogged advocate for young people of all backgrounds. Since 2003, he's been an institution on the West Side Airwaves. Get your pen or your pad or your electronic device. School Talk has arrived. Now, here's your host, Emerson.
Take your seats and get ready. Take your seats and get ready. School Talk is in session. My name is Emerson. Once again, for the 1,214th time. But that's that new math. Who's counting, Caesar? Who's counting? How many times? Who's counting since 2003? I've been on the shoot.
I wasn't even born in 2003. I was born in 2002, so I couldn't even be counting. It was impossible.
That happens from time to time when I talk about my age. But I got somebody who can relate to my age today. That's why, we got two youngsters in the studio. You old, Caesar. You old. Caesar, my producer, my student. What you got planned for the weekend?
Nothing much, really. I might get a haircut tomorrow.
Yeah, you'll get a haircut. Man, hey, let it grow, man. I'm bald. I got no hair. Let it grow. Don't cut it.
I don't know. I've been letting it grow the top for like around a year. So I think it's time to at least leave half of it off, I think.
Now, you a band kid, man. You can't have no weekend off.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know what I'm saying.
You sound like me. That's how my show goes sometimes. That's a soundbite.
And around May is when it's going to start getting busy again because we're going to do the Indy 500.
Okay.
So our practices start next Thursday. So pretty much this is like one of my last weekends off. I have like three or four more.
I got it now. I don't know how band kids and band parents do it. I mean, you're going 24/7. It seems like, you know, but that's cool.
It's fun though. Next week is our semi-state competition to see if we qualify for state for our contest for our concert band.
Okay.
So yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm excited though. It's a fun activity to do. I think that's why I keep going back to it, even though I'm there like all the time.
Well, I love what you do, and that's why we're here. So what else we got going on with the kid? What the young scholar's up to?
Our WBDG 53 marathon is from 8 a.m. on April 26th to midnight on April 27th. We have fabulous prize giveaways, special guests, and much more. To give money or prizes, call 317-988-7122. Again, that's 317-988-7122. And prom is Saturday, May 4th at the Convention Center from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. School Talk with Emerson, which happens every Friday at 7:30 a.m., and our replays are on Sunday at 2 p.m. Our request line is 317-244-9234. Our podcast and School Talk can be found on audioboom.com. Just search WBDG-FM, and make sure to follow us on all social medias at WBDG-Indy.
Whoa, that's a young child. Always doing something. Always doing something. That was called, what we call that? Thank you very much, Caesar. Love what you do and love your parents for helping you do what you do.
Yeah.
Grew up to be awesome. Awesome. Just totally awesome. In the studios, folks. Live in the studios. From Ben Davis High School. From IU. From downtown. From the legislature. He represents District 91 in the House of Representatives since 1992. I include Marion and Hendricks County, born and raised in Indianapolis, Indiana. I've been a proud Hoosier all his life. I did say go to IU, didn't I? Because I got something. My kids went to IU, too. So, and Ben Davis, my kid went to Ben Davis High School, too. So I'm on the roll here, y'all. Good morning. I hope I don't butcher this last thing. I do from time to time. Mr. Benny?
It's perfect.
Oh, Bob Benny, he's in the studio. Y'all push the magic button. Ben Davis graduate, you could go all the way. How you doing, son?
Great.
Man.
I was in a band like Caesar.
Get out of here.
I can relate to what he had to do. We were state champions, state fair champions. I remember marching at the Indy 500. Mm-hmm. That's a tough track to march around, though, isn't it? I mean, especially on the angles. It's pretty tough.
Yeah. We don't do it at the track anymore. We actually... we marched like through the streets of downtown.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, it's still pretty hard though, because sometimes we have like obstacles we have to go around. So
piles.
Yeah, well, we would do it on the oval.
On the oval, yeah.
Yes, heard about man. You would go around and go those banked ovals, and so here you
that
are.
That would be interesting.
It was not easy sometimes. So
that sounds a lot harder than what we would do, which is just go around the street, because you guys would go all the way.
As I remember, yeah, we would go around at least 3/4 of the way around the oval, because we'd go, you know, like round at least through the fourth turn all the way down past the. You know, the, what do I want to call it?
The pedoga.
Yeah, the pedoga. Yeah, pedoga and all that stuff, where all of the festivities and the finish line, we'd go through that and around into turn one. So, yeah, it was not fun. And it was, I mean, very hot. Usually, you know, hopefully the sun would be out for you, so.
Yeah, it. I mean, even though you said it wasn't fun, it sounds kind of fun though. Like going
well,
around the track.
It's fun when you think about, you know, it's like 300,000 people there, so it's a Woo! Lot more people than you yeah. can ever imagine being in front of. You know, I remember doing IU. We went down to IU and did at the football games a couple times, and I did the Orange Bowl and Woo! Rose Bowl, and so. It was an awesome experience. A lot of work, though. A lot of parent yeah. involvement. And
what'd you play?
I played alto clarinet. My wife was one of my wife at the time, but she was a percussion.
Talk about that. Yeah. So high school sweetheart.
We started dating as I was a actually when I was
breaking
in college,
news, y'all. Yeah. No.
She was still in high school. But, okay.
That sounds a lot of fun, to be honest.
Yeah, I got to know. I mean, interesting thing is about Ben Davis is our principal at the time was Howard Wood. Yeah. And Howard and his wife was named Dutch, and Dutch is still alive. He was so involved with the band. He would go with us all over the place. And I got to know Howard. And then after, not as a bad student, but as a good student. So I wasn't spending.
You're talking about my background now.
I wasn't spending a lot of time in his office, but I would. I mean, I was in student council when I was in at Ben Davis, and was on a group. We had executive student council, so we met every day, and so I would. I got to know Howard, Mr. Wood, very well, and even after I graduated. We would stay in touch, and so I knew his wife very well too, Dutch. She's a super lady, great people.
How huge was your high school experience?
I'm sorry.
How huge was your high school experience? How huge was that?
How big was this class?
Yeah, how to you was it? I had a problem staying in high school. I didn't stay in high school. My hometown is Terre Haute, Indiana, and remember Wiley High School?
I know Terre Haute, but I don't remember.
Well,
Wiley.
I went to Wiley High School. I went to Gershmar Tech High School. I went to State Laboratory High School. I went the very first year North High School. I had a problem staying in high school.
Sounds like you like to jump around.
I had attitude. And then 1972, the year you graduated, mm-hmm. I joined the Marine Corps.
Cool.
And I joined the Marines, and they're the ones that got me on the right track. I mean, I got in front of a man that I couldn't spit down, couldn't talk down, couldn't yell down, couldn't stare down. I could do nothing but be quiet. Basically, and do what he told me to do. And that really helped me and turn my life around. But I miss so much of my high school experience. Walking across the stage, never happened.
I really enjoyed high school. Yeah. I mean, I had gone to Grace Lutheran School, which is an elementary school that's no longer around. I went, at the time, Wayne Township had the, instead of having middle schools, mm-hmm. they had junior high schools. So I went to Fulton.
Okay.
So I came into the system as a ninth grader. So there were a bunch of us that had come from different private schools. And I'd say my freshman year was not the easiest. But mm-hmm. once you got to Ben Davis, where you blended all those schools together, it was kind of like, you know, we had great relationship. I mean, there's a couple former teachers, the O'Days, Kevin O'Day, for instance, which I think he was.
I remember that
Mrs.
name.
Mrs. O'Day, I think, is administrator now. For MSD of Wayne, but Kevin mm-hmm. was in my class. It was a great time. I went to 4 proms. The 2 in my junior senior year, then my wife's junior senior year. So I really enjoyed high school. But I really appreciate your service in the military. Yeah. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
I agree with you that I think the military does help create character. I grew up, as you did, in the era of the Vietnam War mm-hmm. then. And I seriously thought about going to Air Force Academy.
Okay.
And it was kind of something I had really thought about. I ended up going to IU. But my son, younger son, thought he wanted to go and ended up going to the Air Force Academy.
Okay.
So it was really great when he decided to do that. Oh, I had the ability to kind of see and relive some of the things that I thought would be pretty cool. We were out there probably 7 or 8 times a year. And now he's a pilot, flies C-17s for U.S. Air Force. He's a major. And
that's awesome.
It's a great, I think, a great way for our young people to learn about life, respect, and all sorts of things that are really going to help them in life in the future.
When you were in high school and going through what you were going through, were you constantly thinking about a career or what you wanted to do when you get out of high school? Or I mean, with the IU, but were you thinking down the road? Did things just happen?
I mean, I think I always had wanted to go into business. I really liked that arena. In high school, though, I wasn't. I mean, I was a good student. Like I said, band was kind of brings kids together and creates a kind of a family. I would say, don't you think, Caesar? You get
it's like you spend so much time with them. It's like your second home, like your second brother or sister, or like I don't know. Everyone gets along, and it's really fun. And you can hang out after like band marching band's over with like the freshmen or the juniors, the seniors, sophomores, and I don't know. It's a really good experience to keep people out of trouble.
I would agree.
I could use that.
and I think it keeps, gives you a reason to come to school. You'll feel like you have an opportunity to be engaged. So, I was engaged in all that. But I didn't know exactly. I mean, I think a lot of kids graduate from college and they don't know what they want to do. So, but I did, I knew I wanted to go to college. Mm-hmm. My parents kind of indicated I needed to go to college. I was a good student at Ben Davis, so I was in National Honor Society, and so it was kind of a natural.
And that's it. I like that, and I'm glad to hear that, because my parents, they did the best that they could. My dad died when I was in the ninth grade, and my mom raised 7 of us, and she did an awesome job. Did what she did, but to have your experiences, and I'm glad you could go back and even mention teachers' names during the time that you were. I can't do that. I'm not telling nobody or ratting nobody. I don't really think my teachers cared for me personally like they do now, and like they did back then in some schools. I wonder about that. But anyway,
well, I will tell you. Yeah. Talk about teachers, and I think teachers are so important in life. And I actually work for Marion University now. I work for the Clips Educators College, so we train teachers, and frequently we'll have students like Caesar say, I want to be famous or something. A lot of kids want to play basketball or football, but I'm sure you, Emerson, could probably remember one of your favorite teachers. There's several at Ben Davis I remember, but the truth is you don't have to be famous to be remembered, and
you have
a lot of teachers that have changed your life, and really I think the passion they show, the compassion for us, and trying to move us along. And each teacher, has their own specific and unique characteristic in terms of the way they develop students. So I think that, we always tell people who are trying to recruit, you don't have to be famous to remember, because you be remembered. You always, everybody can tell me at least one person they remember, one teacher they remembered in school.
Got me.
Maybe not you,
Emerson.
You got me.
Mrs. Bush,
Caesar probably
from junior high school.
Yeah.
Mrs. Bush from junior high school. Woodrow Wilson, junior high school. You're right. I stand corrected. I love it. Education. How'd you back in education? I mean, how'd you get in? Even downtown, you're the chair of the House Committee on Education.
Correct.
Now, how did you get a passion for education? Did you want to be a teacher ever?
I never necessarily wanted. I went into business.
What kind of business did you go into?
I owned a retail business out here in Wayne Township, Berkshire Florist.
Get out of here!
For a long time, 30 plus years. I was kind of...
I didn't know that!
Yeah. Hey. Right here on Rockville Road.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And my kids, so it's retail floor, so we had some garden, outdoor stuff. I got to, I think it was in 2011. I either had to buy the facility I was leasing or move. And okay. I was like 57 or something like that. And yeah. I'm like, my kids had no interest in the business.
Yeah. No flower power there.
No. I mean, my daughter might have, but she didn't have her act together enough to run her life, yeah. let alone a business. So we ended up selling. And so when I sold it, I did some consulting and ended up being going to Marion University.
Okay.
I was really involved in the redesign. Part of it's because of my experience at the legislature.
Yeah.
Education has always been my passion, at least at the legislature, because I think it is probably the best tool we can use in terms of economic development. If you have great schools in a community,
yeah.
like Ben Davis, businesses want to locate where you have great schools.
Huge. That's true.
And so what we can do to improve education, give everybody a chance, has a huge impact in life, which is really one of the reasons I went into education. So I now work at the Educators College. I teach a course on education policy, which I do have a little bit of experience
okay.
on since I helped shape education policy. So.
Duh!
But I also, I'm in a couple of weeks, I'm taking a class of 16 students to China.
Get out of here!
We have a study abroad where we look at high-performing countries educationally, and me and another prof are going to take 16 of our sophomores and juniors over to experience China. Last year in May, I went to South Korea.
Okay.
So I love what I do. I love having
that. Pretty obvious. Yeah. You talk about parent involvement. You talk about your parents indicated that you were going to college. I mean, some parents, I think, do the kids in China hear from the parents like, you're going to college? You're going to college.
You know, kids, this is...
I mean, that's it. That's your lifestyle.
That is very... I mean, you are correct, actually. This is to be the second time I went to China. I'm also very involved in the National Conference of State Legislatures. All states belong to it, and I was the national chair of the Education Committee, but I'm on the International Study Committee. So we actually went and looked all at countries all over the world and looked at their educational systems. In China, remember, they have, up until about 2 years ago, you could only have one child in a family. They would not let you have more than one. That was the government's policy. It was population control. They're the mm-hmm. biggest country in the world. And they limited you to one child. And they have very intact families in general. So you have very little divorce, very, very low divorce rate, although it is starting to change slightly. And so a lot of times, too, with economics, you would have not just mom and dad, but you'd have grandma and grandpa kind of all in. So sometimes you'd have six adults to one student. The other thing they would tell us frequently, they have real problem getting laborers to do construction, stuff like that, because the Chinese have always prided themselves on intellect and how, you know, focused they are. So they want their kids to pursue college. And I mean, they really want them to go to college in the United States because yeah. that's, you know, the premier yeah. place to go to receive your higher ed education. So totally different culture. Now, the other thing is really was unique about China is you think of China as a communist country and you mm-hmm. think everybody's equal, you know. The truth is it is probably more authoritarian today. Mm-hmm. So you have, you know, very central government, but it is the fastest growing middle class in the world. And I was amazed at all of the places I would go and the retail malls that you would see that, you know, they're much higher end than even the malls I'm familiar with here in the United States. There's still a lot of yeah. poverty, but there's also a lot of middle class and a lot of wealth. So it's a totally different society than what you yeah. think of. And I went to Shanghai and Beijing. Shanghai is, in my opinion, a cross between Times Square and Las Vegas. I mean, it is a wild city. And all these buildings with all sorts of lights on them and everything. It was awesome. But so it, the other thing about China, these big cities, Beijing and Shanghai are some of the biggest cities in the world. I think Shanghai has 30 million people in it. And Shanghai adds annual, I mean, Beijing adds annually to their population about 500,000 people. So it's like building a city almost the size of Indianapolis every year.
Jeez.
So it's just
humongous.
You cannot understand until you visit it. Yeah.
What kind of, back in 2011, authored the school choice scholarship program that provided families with who don't have financial means with scholarships or vouchers to pay for tuition for private school. Where's your passion come from that? I mean, you're helping low-income kids, you know, get a, and that's good education. Where's your passion come from? I'm just wondering.
Well, as I look,
is it the business or is just your way you're raised?
I think it's part of the way I was raised personally. I mean, I don't know how else. I look at life today, and there's a lot of have and have nots in our society. And you think about the United States, and we've got, unfortunately, a lot of kids kind of like you grew up with just your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And are you the oldest or youngest?
I'm the five of us. I'm the second, third oldest boy.
So there was
two older and two younger.
There were a lot of siblings that were younger than you. Yeah. And that's a lot for a mom to have seven kids all on her own. And you think about the economic advantages, disadvantages. There's also education advantages, disadvantages. So, you know, you're born and you live in inner city, you're single parent.
Mm-hmm.
The chances and opportunities you have, unfortunately, are not as great as mine were, for instance. I mean, I was a very middle-income family, and my father had a great job at the time. It was
and that's
Allison
a good thing.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to have a father
in
law.
It is. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never apologize for that. That's great. That's great. Because that's where I want to be as a. I got four daughters. Okay. And one has a master's degree. One has a bachelor's degree. That one got a bachelor's degree. That one got four daughters, four kids. Got mommy a degree. So I look at my girls and I see the success that they have and I feel great. I
feel good. They should be proud of them.
Yeah, I really am. Push the magic button for my kids. Yeah, yo. I really feel great. I got five grandkids now. So, and that's with the four boys. I got four grandsons. So, we live, and like you said, you mentioned earlier, we live some of our lives through our kids, a little bit of our lives. Like your son went to the Air Force. We live a little bit, and that's okay. That's good. Are you grandfather?
I have seven.
Super, I'll push the magic button for the grandkids. Boys, girls, how many? What?
I have five boys and two girls.
Yeah. It's cool.
My oldest son has four boys.
Okay.
So it's a blast to have them together.
Yeah.
It's like, talking about wild and, you know, fighting all the time, playing all the time.
Love it.
So.
That's just great. Great.
But you know, in 11, we were looking at how do we help some of these kids and give them some options in life. And many times if you live in a urban community, this quality of schools aren't the best either. Mm-hmm. And no question, at least in my mind, that giving kids an opportunity to kind of move up in life. Mm-hmm. And that's where we went with choice and trying to improve overall performance schools. The interesting thing about choice and what's happened is Indianapolis Public Schools, there's more choice happening in IPS than any other school district in the state. And IPS has moved to the point where they're embracing choice. It's kind of like, you know what? Competition makes us all better.
Yeah.
And they look at it as they've kind of done what they call now enroll Indy. So you if you're a parent in IPS, you can look at your son or daughter, go to these forums, look at all these charter schools and IPS schools, and you can pick any one of them, and enroll Indy will assign you based on your preference to the school.
Yeah.
But and IPS has also started to do partner. We created another category of schools. We have traditional public schools, charter schools, innovation network schools, and non-public or voucher schools.
Okay.
And innovation network schools are traditional public schools, but they may not be operated directly by the school district. They may have a group of teachers. It generally has a group of teachers come together and say, I want to do it a little bit different format.
Yeah.
And so they have 20-plus innovation network schools in IPS. So they've kind of embraced, you know, this model, and let's choice is going to help our kids and then trying to figure out how we can best meet the needs. And they still have, you know, they still have their CFI schools, Center for Inquiry, and their magnet schools and their high schools. But Heron High School is an Innovation Network school. It's a charter school, but it's an Innovation Network charter. It's one of the highest performing high schools in the country, and that's an IPS school today. So,
is it, like, you've been doing this a long time, so I'm kind of like preaching to the choir, but you've been doing this a long time. Is it a lot of the changes as a result of people, not everybody's the same. So one mold doesn't fit everybody. Back in the day when I was going to school, you know, it was like, you know, this, you had the Vicar County school system and that's what you had. That was it. No more, no less. But now there's a lot of choices. Is that because we have evolved? As a people?
I think there's no question society's changed. And I think about, you know, when you and I were in school, you know, we were very into what I would call rote learning, you know.
Rewriting, rip
it. And memorizing. You know, have to memorize it. Today, for Caesar to be successful in life, he needs to know critical thinking, problem solving. I mean, life is moving so quickly. I mean, think about the technology advancements we've seen in our life, you know.
Yeah.
And we've got IPS has another school that is really cool school to see. It's not at all like what you and I went to. Purdue Polytechnic High School.
I've talked about that with my nephew. I want him to go.
And it is a project-based learning program. So you walk into that high school and you're like, who's in charge here? You know, it's like the teachers are all very fluid. Yeah. I mean, you don't have a lesson plan. I mean, you have lesson plans, but you got to be flexible because you know, you're all doing projects. You're working together as teams. You have businesses come engaged and with you, so they're kind of coaching you along in terms of. I mean, it's an amazing new model that project-based learning is not new, but it's new here in Indianapolis, and they're actually opening their second high school next fall up in Broad Ripple.
So. Wow, man, it's crazy because I remember when first time Ben Davis started offering online. Classes.
Virtual cards.
Virtual education. And I was thinking, like, God, how can you? That's weird. You go sit at home and go to school. I mean, things have definitely changed. Now I'm really telling my age now. really.
I'll tell you something else, Emerson, I think is going to be something that's going to change kids' lives in the future in terms of education is looking more at youth apprenticeships. You know, I'm sure you could relate to this. I can relate to this. And I know Caesar would be able to ask this question. Many times you sit in these courses, you know, maybe you're in a class in Algebra 2 and you're like, why do I need to know this? You know, I mean, seriously, I mean,
every class, why?
Well,
that's Emerson talking.
So we're looking at youth apprenticeships, a model that actually the rest of the world has embraced many, many years. It really is kind of focusing on more making learning more relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be a situation, for instance, where Caesar may, as a junior, he may go to school 3 days a week. 4 days a week, and then he would work at a business 1 day a week that was aligned kind of what he wanted to do and to what he was studying. So, you know, it integrates a work environment plus a learning environment. And then, you know, his senior year, he may go to school 3 days and work 2 days. He's getting paid while he's doing this. And then he graduates from high school. He keeps going on in a third year to this. And by the time he graduates after 3 to 4 years, he'll have his associate's degree and he'll have, you know, either a credential certification, something that really, you know, he can walk away. And even if he doesn't like what he's doing and says, hey, this isn't for me, but he's going to have transferable skills that he can go to, you know, whatever else he wants to do. The European model is set up like this in many respects, and it's very permeable. So you can start down a track and end up at, you know, IU Med School or Marion's Med School because we have a med school. But it's just one of those things where you get that work experience. The one thing I hear from employers a lot about our kids of today is I want kids who can problem solve, critical think, who show up on time, who understand how to work with other people.
Yeah.
And some of those things are skills you can't necessarily teach that in a classroom.
Yeah, that is awesome. Go ahead, Caesar.
So there's actually a program here at the high school called Co-op where you go to work the last 2, 3, or 1 hour of school.
Mm-hmm.
And you get paid at that work. And I know they have, like, different programs with, like, Eli Lilly and, like, or, like, say a store that's nearby, like Walmart.
Right, right.
And they do stuff like that. And I'm actually going to do that program my senior year because mm-hmm. I think it's only for seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of what you said, how, like, you still get paid and you get worked. And if you want to keep doing it, you can keep doing it. Or if you want to stop, you can stop and try to figure something out.
So, yeah. Those are similar programs. I'd say the only difference would be instead of it being for a couple hours, this would be an all-day thing. The way the system is really designed, and Colorado actually has a system like this. Their goal is to have 25,000 students in it in the next 5 to 7 years. Right. But they actually, the businesses are paying you not the same as they would, somebody that's, yeah, but they're paying working a little bit less. But overall, the business can get will have a return on investment on your work in 2 years, and that way it makes them engaged and want them to really have a active participation in the program long term.
And so, plant some seeds for your future, man. While you work hard, and you can pay your bills, learn something, and have a great life. That is awesome. We're out of time, but I want to say one last thing. Notable alumni, these are some following names: Morton Anderson, Steve Ali, Alex Bentley, Stanley Burrell, Tanlin Doss, Shira Eli, Chris Evans, and it goes on. And Robert Bean, you're up there. How does it feel to be on the alumni wall? I mean, a lot of students graduate from Ben Nevis High School, but when you get the notable alumni category, you know, Don Gummer, Carolyn Mays, Henry Williams. That's my cousin. Henry Williams, professional basketball player.
Is Randy Whitman on there?
Randy Whitman's on there, yeah.
He's my cousin.
Get out of here!
Yeah.
Dang, we got Ken Falk in the house. How does it feel? That feels pretty good, though.
I mean, it's humbling. I don't know that I belong in there, but I mean, it is really an honor to be part of that. Yes.
Well, it's an honor to have you in our studio today. We're 4 minutes over, but I just want to have a conversation with you so folks get to know you a little bit. I know your District 91 already knows you. Ben Davis High School already knows a little bit. Now we know you a little bit more. Keep us abreast of what you're doing. You're doing some awesome things for young people, and education is so important. Believe me, I know how important education is. If I can go back and walk across that alleyway, back in my high school, do it over again, I would. But I've had a great life, so I'm not complaining, you know. But
sounds like you've been a great father.
Yeah.
Which is really the one thing that's most important in the world when we have kids is being there for them.
So. I agree. Thank you very much. Well, thank you for coming in, sir.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Yeah.
Nice to meet both of you guys.
Woo, woo,
you
woo, too. Woo. Oh, Caesar? Yeah, get to class. So take me out of here. To the parents and to the teachers. Our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and others. What you give out, what's going to be given back. Students, remember, your future is in the hands of the ones you hang with. It's okay to be a copycat. Copy Mr. Benning. You can copy Bob. I call him Bob. You can't call him Bob. Call him Mr. Benning. Be disrespectful. He called him Mr. Woods. After all this, you still call him Mr. Woods. That's pretty cool. So that respect is everything. Young man, be a man. It's okay to be a copycat. Just copy right now. I said it twice. I'll say it again. But pull up your pants. I just can't stand sagging. I can't stand it, sir. I can't stand sagging pants. They say it's going down, but I still see it. I can't stand sagging. That's just my own thing. I have a condition. I don't know what it is. Since you don't sag, do you?
No,
Your mama ain't gonna let you. Mr. Benny don't sag. I don't sag. Old dudes do sag, sir. I've seen them.
Oh, I agree. That's very pretty, though.
It don't make no sense. It's not pretty. Views expressed on schools on this interview with MCA Wayne Township. The my views and views of my guests. Until next week, I don't know who I'm talking to. I'll talk to somebody. Have a good day. Have a good weekend. See you next week on School Talk.